Wisconsin's primary elections are in 2 months, and voters have a lot to decide on. There's a heated race between two Republicans looking to challenge Senator Tammy Baldwin, and a group of 10 Democrats are fighting for a chance to take on Governor Walker. The Marquette University Law School poll has been gauging where voters stand on this year's races and a number of other issues. The newest results came out earlier today. Charles Franklin is with us now. He is the director of the Marquette University Law School poll and a professor of law and public policy at Marquette. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be here.
Well, I picked out a theme in these election ones. You've got the two Republicans running against Tammy Baldwin, 10 Democrats running to race for governor. The general consensus seems to be who?
That's exactly right. And I think more than just that fact, it's important to put everything else in that context when we look at the horse race and so on, is to appreciate how little voters have yet tuned in. The best-known candidate is still unknown to 61% of voters, and it's higher for the other 9 Democrats and for the 2 Republicans in the Senate contest. And that's not completely shocking, even though it's only 2 months away. The campaigns really haven't ramped up. They're not, for the most part, doing TV advertising. And so we have a ways to go. But it means that a lot of people don't know these candidates yet. 34% of Democratic primary voters say they don't know who they'd vote for. 30% of Republican primary voters don't know. So in light of lack of familiarity and high don't-know rates in these races, I think it's important to say these are races that could still develop pretty dramatically if a candidate gets a sudden advantage or breaks out in some way.
I'll throw a hypothesis at you, Charles. Tell me what you think about it. Is this a case where for a lot of these voters, for the Democrats, they're thinking, hey, whoever we got, I'll vote for them over Walker. I don't need to worry about which one it is at this point. Same thing maybe for Republicans in this Senate race. They're not going to vote for Tammy Baldwin. They're going to vote for the person with the R by the name.
Right. I think that is true, and it's especially true in the governor's race, where opinions about Walker have been so polarized for so long. And through 3 elections, now 4, counting the recall. So Walker gets a pretty consistent mid-40s to high 40s vote when we match them against every one of the 10 Democrats. And the Democrats themselves range from about 38 to about 44 for most of the candidates. So really, that's like saying, are you going to vote for a Democrat or are you going to vote for Scott Walker? And there's just not a whole lot of variation from candidate to candidate. And that makes sense when you realize how little known these candidates are still.
All that said, let's key in on each of these primary races. Let's start with the race for governor. You got 10 candidates trying to stand out from the field over the course of the next handful of weeks. When you poll people on the Democratic primary itself, what do you find?
So this is based on people who say they will vote in the Democratic primary. Tony Evers stands out at 25%. He's the only Democratic candidate that's in double digits. Then we have 3 at 7%. That's Flynn and McCabe and Soglin. And then everybody else is at 5 points or lower. One that bears noting is Kelder Royes, who won the straw poll at the Democratic convention, but we don't see much of a bounce for her. And later we didn't see a bounce for Leah Vukmir, who won the Republican Party endorsement. So neither convention seems to have really helped candidates break out from the field.
Are we so keyed into national politics and national news, there's a lot of it, that maybe it's taking the air out of the room for these primary candidates?
Well, I think the intensity of national politics, at least if you follow politics closely, is kind of overwhelming right now. But I also think this is a function of a 10-candidate field on the Democratic side. It's very hard when you spread resources, news coverage, media events so thinly across them. It makes it hard for one to break out. Now, the positive side for those that are below 10% right now is that Evers at 25% is certainly not a commanding margin. And if something should move support to one particular candidate, they could move out. Having said all of that, on the Republican side, both candidates are relatively little known, and there are only two candidates on that Senate race. And so this is more than just the big field. I think it is national politics, and it's also that even though it's June, it's not late July yet, and people haven't tuned in.
Talking to Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law School poll. New results out earlier today. We're checking them out. Charles, a lot of talk about this idea of, hey, is there a blue wave in Wisconsin, around the country? You tried to gauge voter enthusiasm on both sides and for independents. What did you find?
Right. So we asked, how enthusiastic are you? And back in early March, when we asked this in the last time, Democrats were 64% very enthusiastic and Republicans 54%. So that was a 10-point Democratic advantage. Both groups have gotten more enthused since, but Republicans have closed the gap. Democrats have gone up to 71% very enthusiastic, but Republicans have bumped up to 67%. So now what was a 10-point Democratic advantage is only about a 4-point advantage. One of the things I said when we released the results today is this is a measure that historically has moved around quite a bit. People seem sensitive to short-term events. And so I think we might expect this measure to move over the course of the year. The question is, does one party maintain an advantage even if it varies, or do we see the gap close or even reverse?
Now, you were in the field before this family separation immigration issue really heated up. I mean, it was starting, I think, to come up. Can an issue like that swing people one way or another?
I think it can, but the question is how long and sustained is the issue? The intensity of the issue over the last 3 or 4 or 5 days has been really extraordinary. And I think if that were maintained for a month, we might see some really major effects. I think the question now with the president changing the policy that his administration chose to implement is whether that does diffuse the issue or whether the 2,000 or more children who are currently separated from parents can be matched back with their parents, or whether we have a second phase in which the issue lingers if it turns out that Homeland Security is actually unable to reunite families. That would be a follow-on consequence of this policy over the last month or so.
One issue you checked out that's been in national news with impacts on Wisconsin, the administration's tariffs on steel and aluminum. What do Wisconsin voters think about those?
And this is interesting because it's a place where support for tariffs or positive views of tariffs is quite low. Only 29% think tariffs will help the economy. 55% think it will hurt the economy. And also we asked about free trade in general. 51% said free trade agreements have been good for the U.S. economy. Only 28% said bad. So this is a case where two issues that Trump has embraced, he's embraced on the substantial minority opinion. Now, we know that Trump's supporters are very intense on this issue, but it still leaves quite a gap between his overall support, which is 44% in this poll, and on these two issues, 28 and 29%, much fewer than that 44 back his positions on trade.
We'll leave it there for now. Charles, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Take care.
That's Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, sharing some of the results from the survey, the latest survey released earlier today.